What's going on, DTC friends and family? I'm here to talk to you about Dynasty Leagues, but not in the way that I usually do. No, we're not talking about the Dynasty Diagnostic. We are talking about Dynasty Arc. The best fantasy football leagues are those where every owner consistently pays attention, responds to trade offers, changes their lineup, and is always looking to improve their team. We've all been in leagues where non-active owners absolutely kill the vibe, and you don't get any enjoyment from actually participating in that league, win or lose. These aren't one of those. This is no off-season for the owners on Dynasty Owner. That's who you're challenging yourself when it comes to Dynasty Owner. Other elite fantasy football players are committed to competing and are vetted before they're even placed in Dynasty Owner leagues. It's the only football platform with a patent game using actual NFL salaries and contracts. Combine this with a salary cap, trading options, advanced team rosters, and devoted and elite owners willing to compete against you, and you're faced with the same decisions that NFL owners and general managers must make on a day-to-day basis. If you are ready to take the leap, to take the next step, and to take on the absolute creme de la creme of Dynasty gamers, then don't miss out. We have an amazing mobile app that will be out on iOS and Android in May, just in time to start filling up your draft with all the rookies being added to the player pool. Just waitlist at www.dynastyowner.com so you don't miss out when new leagues open.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
Hey everybody, welcome to a very special edition of the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. This is a video podcast, and we're going to be covering some sweet content, at least I think so, right, Izzy? It's the Dynasty Nerds Startup Draft. We got bored during the offseason, COVID-19 hit, we got bored, so we decided to start up a draft with our friends, the Dynasty Nerds. So this week, very special edition, I've got Izzy, my trusty co-host, the Pharaoh Fantasy, joining. What's up, Izzy?
What's up, man? How you doing? And it's not the Dynasty Nerds draft, right? It's the Nerds Calculator draft is what it was called, yeah. Right?
The Nerds Calculator draft. That's correct.
You guys duped me into doing this. I didn't want to do another startup. I hate startups. Just too much going on. And I'd rather take on, like, my new thing is taking on really bad orphans. It's kind of like my new exciting thing, kind of a challenge. So, but I do like the nerds, and I've never been in a league with Rich before, and I wanted to see if I actually think he's as good in my head as he is in Dynasty. Like, I think Rich is a pretty good Dynasty player in my head. Now we got to see if it's reality, so I get to experience it firsthand.
What about the Ultimate Dynasty Podcast League?
Yeah, but that's like, I just jumped into that, so I haven't actually seen you, like, how you manufacture things over time. I took over the orphan last year, which was a challenge in itself, and I've just been focusing on trying to fix the team, so I haven't really been watching. I haven't kept my eye on you.
Yeah, but now after our initial startup, you're probably just sitting back going, OMG,
yeah,
look
yeah.
at this guy work.
This is your king? Yeah.
Speak of the devil, joining us this week for this very special edition of the podcast is Dynasty Rich, the owner of Dynasty Nerds. What's up, Rich? How you doing?
Oh, always doing well when I'm hanging out with you guys. So things are going well under the circumstances of being quarantined in my house for a month straight.
Yeah, this is some pretty wild stuff. I'm sure that one of the results of COVID-19, I'm sure, are tons and tons of podcasts coming out. So, like, people have no lack of content, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's what we're here for, right? To keep the masses Dynasty informed and entertained, and they need it now more than ever. So, like I've been telling everybody, like, now's the perfect time for us because we have tons of things to do, scouting rookies, talking about rookies. So for us being locked in the house at this time, if you're a Dynasty player or an analyst, it's okay, I got stuff to do.
That's right. So before we get into the weeds on the startup draft, I got a question for maybe both of you. What are the odds that we actually have an NFL season in 2020?
Oh, go ahead, Rich.
I would say 100%.
Whoa, 100%. Jeez.
I wouldn't say 100. I think that's That's a little aggressive. I like the optimism, Rich, but I would say I'd put it at 85. I'm good at 85%.
85 is pretty good.
Yeah,
so you guys
odds.
Both feel pretty good about it then. That's not bad.
I think there's way too much, when you talk about politics, there's way too much politics in football and in sports in general. I feel like if things are relatively close to normal, that football has to continue. But if it's, we can't go as a country, we literally can't, I don't think we can actually go 9-10 months being locked up, not doing anything and not even having sports. I think it'll drive people insane. So they're gonna have to do something to alleviate the insanity that's going on in households. And I think sports with no fans, and they're talking about having it in like one city. So they're gonna pick an NFL city. Like, I think they're talking about Vegas right now, Las Vegas or Nevada, and having the NFL season, every game in Nevada. Wow. I don't know how they're gonna actually do that, but they don't want the travel going on. That's like the worst case scenario. But everybody's favorite, Dr. Fauci, said that it's possible. So I think everybody's excited about it.
There we go. So the average would be about 92%. So you guys are combined 92%. So pretty good chance. Yep, I like those odds a lot too. So you're telling me there's a chance. So before we start going through pick by pick, I'm going to go through the league settings really quickly. I've got this pulled up here. So our listeners and our watchers on YouTube, this is a special podcast because we'll be posting the video. So if you're listening to it on the podcast, jump over to YouTube, search Dynasty Trade Calculator and subscribe to our channel. You'll be able to check this out on YouTube as well. So if you want to see Izzy's ugly face and my my COVID-19 mohawk haircut that Izzy's also in love with.
It's terrible.
plus many other things that you'll see, some Easter eggs in the backgrounds. Jump onto our YouTube channel. So really quick, this league was, like I said, it was combined half of Dynasty Nerds, half of Dynasty Trade Calculator people. And it's a 12-team PPR Superflex, tight end premium, point per first down. And Izzy, was there any other anomalies that we had in there too?
No, I think you got it. Premium, point per first down, Superflex. I think we have 10 starters.
10 starters, yep. And then Rich, this was a new one for you too, but this was, we added the disrespect draft to this league also, which is a way to kind of, it's like an anti-tanking rule that's really fun. We'll go into that later on too.
Yeah, take that, Wozniak.
Take that, Woz.
The beef has already started. I love it.
And just really quick context for that, just to make things make more sense. You basically get to take a different team's first round draft pick for 2021. So you're kind of rooting against them the whole season. So it kind of creates a fun little smack talk environment too. So,
and we did it halfway through the draft.
Yeah, right around like what, round 6, round 7?
No, it was round 12.
Was it that late?
Yeah, we finished up round 12 and then we did the disrespect draft.
Wow. That's disrespectful.
Yeah, and it was random draw. It was random draw, and essentially the person that got the first pick of that round got to pick any team's 2021 first round pick, who basically they thought has assembled the worst 2020 roster. So it's kind of funny to see who went first overall and who went last, and just kind of the way that it went was a lot different than I would have drafted. But that's what's the best part about it, is you get to see other people's perspectives on who thought your team was bad, or who thought X team was good, stuff like that. So
that's,
and it creates
fun
animosity, which is perfect.
We love animosity. So without further ado, the draft. So Dynasty Rich was fortunate enough to draw the first overall pick. So he'll be picking first. Izzy drew the third pick, and I drew the sixth pick. So we'll go through each pick. We'll give some quick commentary with each of our picks, what we were thinking during that moment, and maybe share some of our strategies with you for Dynasty startups. And then maybe we can kind of have like a fun little learning session here with all three of us on. So starting off, Dynasty Rich drafted Patrick Mahomes in the one spot. No big surprise there, but Rich, in case there was anything going through your head, what were you thinking when you drafted Pat?
It was, how quick can I hit the submit button on this pick? Pat Mahomes to me in a super flex league is the clear cut 1-1. You're getting under 25-year-old, already Super Bowl champion, NFL MVP player that I'm going to have my roster easily for the next 10 years producing at a high level. So for me, this is the easiest pick in all of fantasy football. You know, if you're in a one QB league, you know, are you taking Christian McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley? for a Superflex league, I think this is literally a no-brainer. Yeah. Pat Mahomes, super simple choice here. You need a good foundation of at least minimum one quality quarterback in Superflex. And not only did I get the best one, I got a young one.
There you go. Up next with the two slot was Garrett Price on the Dynasty Nerd side, and he drafted Saquon Barkley. And then I think, Izzy, you probably felt pretty fortunate about that, because coming up next was Izzy drafting Lamar Jackson. Talk to us about that one.
Yeah, shout out to Garrett Price. Thank you for doing that. Made my life a lot easier. I'm in the same boat as Rich. I think the top two picks, I think the top pick is, for me, it's close. Because I think Lamar in a point per first down league, or at least half a point per first down, is a pretty big advantage over his peers because of his rushing floor. If you assume that Lamar gets, let's call it eight first downs a game, let's 6 to 8 first downs a game. I don't know what he averaged last year, but that's 4 points that I'm getting. That's a touchdown. I'm getting a touchdown just off of Lamar Jackson first downs. So for me in this format, I probably go Lamar Jackson with the 101. I don't hate the Mahomes 101 pick, but I was very happy to see Lamar Jackson fall to 103. I didn't think that there was any chance Garrett would pass on Saquon or McCaffrey, but turns out that he's a huge Saquon fan, and I can't fault him for that. I just think in this format with Superflex and the rushing aspect of it, Lamar was a steal at 103. Somehow he's a steal at 103.
All right, and then with the 104, at DavidZach16, also on the nerd side, drafted Christian McCaffrey. I felt like that was the no-brainer. Going at 105 to FF Couch Coach on the DTC side, Ezekiel Elliott. And then I was up at 106. I felt really torn with this pick because I feel like the top of the draft is a four-man race between Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley. And then outside of that, it becomes a big, long, flat tier. So I had to choose between guys like Kamara, Dalvin Cook. I was torn, like, if I wanted to do, like, my guy Kyler Murray, but I was just like, maybe there's a way he'll... I didn't think there was a way he'll come back around in the second round, but it's just... that's a lot of value to give up for a quarterback that was a rookie last year for me. So I went with Michael Thomas, and similar to reasoning from what Izzy is talking about, Michael Thomas in a point per first down league is a pretty solid investment, and I think that he's going to have another insane year with Drew Brees under the helm. And as you mentioned, I think on Twitter that Drew Brees still has, I think he re-upped for 2 years. So there's a little bit less concern with the volume coming his way over the next year or two. But I decided to go with the difference maker at wide receiver outside of choosing like one of these running backs with the super big tier, quarterbacks with the super big tier. So Michael Thomas for me at 106.
Yeah, I like that. Anytime you're in the middle of a draft and you can get the number one guy at his position, you can never argue it. You know what I mean? Like, do you want to take the third best, fourth best running back, or do you want to get the third quarterback, which would be fair, or the number one receiver by a mile? So, yeah, I like that pick.
There you go. And actually, looking at this format, too, Michael Thomas was not only the only wide receiver in the top, I think, 24. I'm taking a quick look. Chris Godwin was the 30th wide receiver, Izzy, and Michael Thomas was number 7. So Michael Thomas is such a big difference maker in this point system. So I take Michael Thomas, and then at the 107 culture coach on the nerd sides, takes Dalvin Cook. FF Stompy on the DTC side takes Alvin Kamara at 108. 109, Kyler Murray goes to Dynasty Matt. That one stung a little bit because, again, that's who I was toiling between. 110 was Dak Prescott to Eitan Mosia. Izzy's daddy, which is Nick Whalen, he drafts Deshaun Watson at 111. 112 was Josh Jacobs to Waz. Waz was drafting on the end. Coming back around, he takes Joe Mixon, so he went running back. What did you guys think about that strategy on the drafting on the back?
There's a reason I took his pick with the disrespect pick, because... Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm a firm believer in the first round pretty much not going running back. It's just too fluid a position for me to invest that high of a pick in, let alone go back-to-back picks. So yeah. I hope Joe Mixon holds out so I can get that number. So I want Trevor Lawrence, guys. So I'm hoping Joe Mixon holds out. I would have went quarterback 100% there, at least with one of my picks. And I probably would have taken George Kittle, honestly, with the tight end premium. But yep. That's just me. I would not have taken back-to-back running back. I didn't like it at all, personally.
Back-to-backs. And just for context's sake, I'll be going through in detail the first two rounds of all the picks. After that, I'll just go to each of our teams. So that way we can talk about our players and instead of listing off all these players at each spot. So
yeah, I would say for a format like this, because the draft board's already there for people to see, maybe we talk about just the round, what picks we liked, what picks we thought were reaches, who we maybe wanted in that spot, just kind of analyze the round and just kind of rip through it.
Love it. So again, Joe Mixon at the top of the second round, followed by Russell Wilson. Tyreek Hill goes 203. And then this one was a surprise to me, Baker Mayfield at 204. Nick Chubb, 205.
Can I stop for a second? Because yeah. I know you guys say it's a surprise, and that's fine because I'm obviously a homer. You see Baker Mayfield over my top left corner here. But I love what Matthew Lincoln Riley O'Hara did here. You know, with his first two picks, he got Kyler Murray and he got Baker Mayfield. And I know I'm a homer, but from a dynasty analyst standpoint too, I expect Baker to rebound massively this year from a production standpoint. So Matt comes out of this draft with two quarterbacks 25 years and under that are quarterback ones. Now he's in a position that he does not have to worry about trading up to grab a young quarterback or what is he going to do at the quarterback position for a long time. So his base is set now to go anywhere he wants the rest of this draft. I might not agree with every pick he made after this, but I love the foundation he sets with his first two picks. Definitely with where he's picking, right towards the back end of the first round. I like the position he puts himself in here early. I was actually, after those first two picks, extremely jealous of the foundation he had.
Yeah, I'm surprised you think. I mean, Baker Mayfield at 204 in a Superflex, even in a Superflex league, is way too high. I mean, that's absurd for me. He was being drafted as the, what is that, the QB5?
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, I think he could have got him in the third.
It's just a stretch. I mean, Carson Wentz went in the third round. I think Carson Wentz deserves to be drafted ahead of Baker Mayfield.
Disagree.
That's fine. I mean, like you said, you're a homer, which is fine. So
I know, but from a homer standpoint, I mean, the guy's hurt all the time. He can't even finish the season. You're going to be in your fantasy football championship, and Carson Wentz is going to be on your bench. You're going to be like, man, I should have taken Baker Mayfield.
I'd rather have a guy that will play majority of the games and play them well than have a guy that's going to play all of them shitty. So that's just that's how I look at it. But I'm not a Cleveland Browns fan, so I get it. I'll let you have a pass on the Baker Mayfield thing. I do think that he's a good, I don't want to say buy, he's not really a buy low, but I don't hate trying to acquire Baker Mayfield because he is a discount from last year's ridiculous price tag of QB2. I just think at 204, it's just so high to draft Baker Mayfield. But I guess at the end of the day, picks bust all the time. So second round picks is not like it's a surefire pick if you would have drafted somebody else. Yeah. But I just feel like I don't think Baker deserved to go that high.
Can I just make one comment on this? Because I haven't made this comment on your guys' show yet.
Yeah.
About it. Can we all agree after 2018, Baker was a pretty high ranked quarterback in Superflex, right?
Yep.
For the most part. Yep. And as a Cleveland Brown fan, a season ticket holder, a guy that lives here, I can't overemphasize that everything that went wrong last year in those interceptions was because of the head coach and what was going on here. I mean, the amount of receivers run the wrong routes and not knowing what they're doing was crazy. In week 16, Baker was showing Odell Beckham where to line up. I've got some insight in here in Cleveland as well from working with some of the media here. And they'd say, like, they would work on stuff all week long, and then it would come game day, and they would switch things up. Like, the players literally had no idea what was going on game day. That's why the Browns look so good for the first, like, 12 plays, the scripted plays. They actually looked really good. If you go back and just look at Baker's stats for the first 12 plays of the game, they're more reminiscent of the 2018 Baker Mayfield. So with Kevin Stefanski coming in here, OBJ being all in, the addition of Austin Hooper and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt for the full year, I think it's absolutely phenomenal for Baker Mayfield. I think he's a great buy low in Superflex leagues, and I think he's going to come back up. I don't think he'll ever be QB1, but back into that top five, top six category going forward. I just can't overemphasize how much of last year's failure on Baker Mayfield's half was, I mean, granted, some of it was on him too, but as a whole, a part of the coaching.
Man, the Browns apologists, holy cow. I didn't think it was this deep, but I'll let you guys have it.
So deep, dude. John Holmes style.
There you go. Following up, you mentioned Nick Chubb. He was drafted 205 by Stompy. 206 was Daniel Jones. And then I was up at the 207. And I kind of felt some pressure to choose one of these quarterbacks. And I think it's probably due in part to what Dynasty Matt did, taking Baker back-to-back quarterbacks. And I decided to take the guy in a point per first down league where rushing stats, like Izzy talked about, Lamar Jackson. I thought that Josh Allen would be a good pick. He finished as the 8th overall scoring player in this format last year. And I think that's the 5th QB5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yep. So Josh Allen, QB5. I thought it was a pretty easy pick right there. There's some quarterbacks that many others probably would pick in that spot ahead of Josh Allen, but Josh Allen can only improve on these stats with gaining some additional weapons on offense. Stephon Diggs, we'll see what happens during the draft here as well, but I was pretty happy with that pick, him quote-unquote falling to me, because I would have taken him ahead of two of those three quarterbacks that were drafted in the second round, Daniel Jones and Baker Mayfield specifically.
Yeah, and I think the two biggest surprises to me. Not necessarily that they were quarterbacks, but which quarterbacks went. I also prefer Josh Allen over those two quarterbacks, and I'm not even a big Josh Allen fan, but it's just a safer pick. Daniel Jones to me was a bit of a reach at 2. I love Daniel Jones, but Daniel Jones to me in a super flex league is more of a fourth round startup guy. But I felt like Culture Coach could have gotten Daniel Jones in the third round. Maybe I'm wrong there. But I felt like it was a round too early. And that's the problem with snake drafts and why a lot of people are going to auction, is because auction, you can just get your guys, whoever you want. In snake drafts, if you're stuck in the middle of a draft, like in the middle round, like you have to, you're going to do more reaching than you are in the back end, or the front end or the back end. So if you got back-to-back picks, it's a lot easier to avoid reaching as opposed to the middle round, middle slots, because there's just so much time waiting between your next pick that you don't think a lot of guys are going to fall. So you kind of go and get your guys. But from a pure value perspective, I thought Daniel Jones there was a little too high. But I think Daniel Jones is going to ascend into the top 10 dynasty quarterbacks. I just don't want to pay to assume that I'm right, because, I mean, as dynasty players, even the best of us, we're wrong all the time. So this is purely a projection play. It's just way too high, considering out of all the players drafted here, this is the biggest projection leap expectation on the draft board so far.
And the two picks leading up to Izzy's selection at 210 was Miles Sanders and Davante Adams. And then Izzy, you had 210. Who'd you take?
I took George Kittle, and I was honestly surprised he was still around. The way that people value Ertz, and the way that they're starting to devalue Kelsey. I mean, Ertz is treated like chopped liver, and Kelsey is viewed as a guy that's aging now, and he's going to start seeing that value decline. So you're going to be able to get Travis Kelsey at a really good deal, I think, next year, because people are going to look at his value and just kind of, you know, it is deteriorating. So, but I think tight ends typically last a little bit longer, especially the elite ones. So we could be seeing another 4 years of Travis Kelsey, but Kittle really stands out as the only young tight end that has tight end one potential. I mean, you got guys like Ingram who can't stay healthy, who I really like. Mark Andrews, I think, in that offense is really can't put up tight end one numbers. And you have Darren Waller, who I don't think is a tight end one overall. So you're looking at Kittle until we see who the next, you know, young player that ascends into that top echelon with that high upside. I think Kittle in a tight end premium league is a really good pick at 210. So I felt like I had to take him there, and I was surprised that he was still around. I actually thought about taking the guy that I believe you took, which was Carson Wentz, just because I wanted to get another top 10 quarterback, but I felt like Kittle was just too big of a steal there at 210.
I got sniped on Wentz, but we'll get to that here. Rounding out the second round, Dynasty Price takes DeAndre Hopkins at 211. My have the mighty fallen down to the late second round, whereas DeAndre Hopkins was a perennial top 5 to 10 pick in all startup drafts. So he's this is the first time I've seen him down in this territory. So that was pretty interesting. And then up for back to back picks at the end of the second, beginning of the first, Dynasty Rich, you selected DJ Moore and Chris Godwin. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, first, I was really surprised, like you said, Hopkins and Kittle fell that far. Like, I started to salivate. Like, am I going to get DeAndre Hopkins in the back end of the second round, or even possibly George Kittle? And it put me in this position, though. I think one of my big regrets here, I'm torn on it because I love what I got here. I got two under the 25-year-old potential wide receiver ones, the wide receiver two overall last year, a top 10 wide receiver in DJ Moore, and a new offense who I love with Joe Brady being offensive coordinator. For a guy that likes to build his squad around young receiving talent, I felt I hit a home run here getting DJ Moore and Chris Godwin. But another part of me goes, I wish I would have got like Carson Wentz, you know, like I wish I'd have got that second quarterback here and worried about receiver later. But I'm always a sucker when you got two guys that are in front of me that are under 25. They're already wide receiver one kind of receivers that can plug and play in my lineup for the next 8 years, which in Dynasty is literally a lifetime, and not worry about those guys. So I couldn't resist two quality guys. I think DJ Moore could take another step forward this year on top of his production as of last year. And it just put me in a position to have that receiving position locked up for a very long time. I was very happy with the picks.
Yeah. Got your receivers locked down. In this format, I believe we're forced to start three wide receivers. So it totally makes sense to fill those in. The wide receivers will carry significant value in this format. So.
And like Izzy said earlier, like I have to wait 24 picks to come back. And I saw that we already went running back heavy. I saw that we went quarterback heavy for the most part early, which pushed that young receiving talent back. So like I kind of said with your Michael Thomas pick, like you could take the number one receiver there, or you could take the fourth best running back, the third best quarterback. I had an opportunity to get, in my eyes, two guys I value as top seven dynasty wide receivers, knowing when it comes back to me 24 picks later that I was going to be in a whole different echelon and tier of that position, because the run had to start on receivers soon as people were lining up on quarterbacks and running backs early. So that's, I figured, true. With that push early, hey, now these guys are going to have to take a quarterback or a receiver, so I'll for sure have a decent running back or maybe a quality quarterback coming back to me. That was my strategy looking at it.
Yeah, makes sense too. Shortly after you take your receivers, Dynasty Price selects Amari Cooper with 302, and then Izzy's back up again at 303. Izzy, talk us through this pick.
Yeah, so this is kind of, I wanted Godwin to fall. I thought that would have been great value at the 27th overall pick, but he didn't. And I looked at it and I had a change of, before it was, and I forgot to mention, it was Kittle, Godwin, and Wentz with that 210. That was kind of what I was looking at. But then the more I thought about it, I thought, okay, well, with Wentz, I'm really big on finding trade partners. And Wentz is a very polarizing quarterback. A lot of people either really like him or they really dislike him. And I didn't want to like reduce my trading power with my pick. So I try to draft players that people like, that I can move eventually. That just gives myself roster flexibility. So Wentz to me just, I kind of soured on him as I was really thinking about it. And Godwin was the guy that I really wanted because everybody loves Godwin. So it gives me a really good trade piece. But then nobody took, and I'm surprised by this, nobody took the 101. And at the 27th overall pick, if you look at where some of the rookies are going, like Jonathan Taylor and DeAndre Swift, they're going in the top 20 of rookie drafts. And the 101 was still there at 27. So I said, okay, well, even if it's Burrow or if it's Jonathan Taylor, I'm going to get some really good value here, and the 101 will always have good trading power. So I took it with a third round pick, and I thought it was, after I drafted it, I would have rather had Godwin, but I feel like it's a riskier play than Wentz. I think Wentz was a safe play there, but I figured, okay, I can get Burrow here at 101 if I wanted it. And then I can actually get maybe who I got later, which is a quarterback that I can have as my QB2 and wait for Burrow or two or whoever I take at 101, or if I trade it for something else, but I can wait for that development. So I can just kind of give myself some flexibility there. So that's why I went the 101.
Yeah, I like that pick, Izzy, because I'm a Joe Burrow truther. You know what I mean? So a guy with his stature and the weapons he's immediately going to get, you know, like he has his Clyde Edwards and Joe Mixon. You know, he's got A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd already there coming right into that offense. I like Joe Burrow here. Looking at Wentz, Wentz is proven, but with his injury history going all the way back to pretty much high school and getting a guy who's had one of the best college football seasons ever, I would rather just get a little bit younger. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather take the year or so of eligibility and that 1-1 stature over a guy like Carson Wentz, too. I like the pick here, actually.
I agree. And for those who are listening and watching us right now, you've already probably come to the conclusion that, yes, we're having a separate rookie draft that was decided early on. So picks are in this startup draft. And coincidentally, at the 304, the rookie 102 was selected. And then shortly after that, Carson Wentz goes 305, like we talked about. And then I'm back on the clock with the 306. And like Izzy mentioned before, Izzy, I think you thought I drafted Carson Wentz. And it's because during the draft in the third round, you kept trying to tease me to come up to draft, to trade up into the third round to take Wentz. You're like, hey, Wentz is still here. It's a third round. Come trade him from me. And by the way, as many would have expected, there were tons of attempts for people to move back in the draft, but none very successful. It's a league filled with industry folks, and everybody wants to move back, and nobody's taking the bait. So it was one of those types of scenarios again. So with the 306, I feel like much in the way that a startup draft is a four-man race, I feel like the rookie draft is a three-man race between Burrow, Tua, Taylor. So I felt like there was some pretty incredible value with the 103 still. And this is my chance to get it. So I took the 103. And like I said, it's going to be one of those three guys. I'll be happy with any one of them.
Wow, so you're taking Jonathan Taylor at three?
Yeah, I would definitely take Jonathan Taylor at three if if it goes Burrow Tua. And in fact, that's kind of what I'm preparing for. So,
I will say what pick I have later. I'm really hoping somehow, some way, because people like took these picks in expectation of getting running backs, that Justin Herbert can come my way because I'm a Justin Herbert fan. So
valid, yeah, that's very likely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay.
And by the way, just like Izzy mentioned, Jonathan Taylor in startup drafts is going in the top 20, and this is the pick 30. So I felt pretty comfortable taking that pick right here. So.
Don't like that at all. Don't like that at all.
And that kind of that rounds up my pick. So at 307, Travis Kelce gets taken. Jared Goff at 308.
Yeah. They can see the board. So let's just talk about this draft, like this round here. So is there anything to me? I think Rich had mentioned that he didn't like Waz's first two picks. I don't love the Devin Singletary pick at 312.
Really baffled me.
I love Devin Singletary, but once again, you love them based on where you have them, where they're being drafted in ADP, right? Where the community as a whole has them. I don't love Devin Singletary at 312. But once again, this is a get your guy type of thing. Yeah. So he got his guy, Devin Singletary, because he damn sure wasn't going to come back all the way around, and you couldn't trade down in this draft. Like, this was the one of the first drafts that everybody was trying to trade down and nobody could. Usually there's somebody that wants to move up in the early parts to maybe stack some really good players up at the top and then kind of figure out their depth later. That was not the case with this draft. So I think he had to get, if he wanted Devin Singletary, he went into this draft, he told me, I wanted Devin Singletary, and he got him. He just got him a lot earlier than anybody else would have drafted him, I feel. I think that was the surprise of the third round, and I get it, you can call it the 401, but even at 401, I think it's a little early. Just because I worry about running backs that don't have elite draft pedigree. With the draft coming up, I actually went into this draft avoiding drafting running backs for as long as possible, just because the NFL draft can screw everything up. And there's a lot of really solid running backs that can take work away from players. So I went into this pile up, try to get some receivers, quarterbacks, picks, and worry about the running backs later and try to get value there. Guys that could take jobs or are undervalued that could have an ascension in 2020. So that was kind of my angle. So I do agree with Waz going running back, running back, running back with his first three picks. I think it's different. I mean, he's zagging. Everybody's kind of zigging. They're doing a little bit of a balance, and he's just going running back heavy, which if in a points per carry league, if those three guys hold on to their jobs and they're getting full workloads and there's no, I guess, reduction in carries and touches in general, he's going to be sitting really pretty because the running backs and quarterbacks really dominate this format over the receivers because of the points per first down. And running backs just get more first downs than wide receivers.
Yeah.
Can I say a couple of things why I hate this pick and why I love it?
Yeah.
I love it because I have Waz's first round pick for 2021 and puts me one step closer to Trevor Lawrence. I don't like it here because one, he already has two running backs, right? He's already got two quality running backs. And I understand what you're saying, Izzy, about, hey, they dominate this format. But like you mentioned, draft pedigree, which he doesn't have, could be somewhat worrisome. Like Buffalo could still draft a running back, right?
Yep.
Two is, if you're going to take a running back here, you hope Devin Singletary turns into Austin Eckler, right? That's what you hope he can be, like an Austin Eckler. Austin Eckler is running back number three overall last year. Austin Eckler just signed a four-year contract with, two of those years are pretty much guaranteed. And if you can get 2 years guaranteed of any running back, you got to take it here. So if I was going to go running back, in my opinion, there's no way I'm not taking a young guy who's guaranteed to be the guy there on a team in Austin Eckler personally. And I just don't see the value here, even not taking 1-5, where you might be able to get Justin Herbert, so you're getting a really young quarterback with some upside with first-round pedigree, or then you have the choosing of possibly at 1-5, maybe it does go quarterback, and now you have the option between J.K. Dobbins, Jonathan Taylor, or DeAndre Swift, who I like all those guys ahead of Devin Singletary as well. So for me, I thought this was the worst pick in the first three rounds, personally.
So I think you're spot on. And this is why drafting rookie picks in a format like this, when you don't want to reach for a player, makes the most sense. So what Waz should have done, in my opinion, if he wants Singletary, he passes on him. He takes the 105. The 105 will get you Devin Singletary. So he should have drafted the 105, waited to see where Devin Singletary went, because he's probably going to go in the range of the 107, 108. I mean, his ADP is probably around the 108, 109 range. But let's say it's the 107. He could have taken the 105, waited for Devin Singletary to go, and then during the rookie draft, he could have traded the 105 for Devin Singletary plus. That was the right play, in my opinion. That's what I would have done. I don't like reaching for players, so I would have figured a way to not reach for a player. And that would have been my way to avoid reaching for Devin Singletary, was just to take the pick and trade for him later.
Yeah, guys, can you imagine any Dynasty players out there now listening or watching? If you got right now, if you were at 1-5 right now, any format that you played, even if it was the Bills running back gets one extra point per first down, and they offered you Devin Singletary for 1-5, you're going to hit decline. Like, you're going to counter that offer. Like, you want more than just Devin Singletary for 1-5. You want Devin Singletary and like 2-5, you know what I mean? Or 2-6. So I agree. I thought this was a, I love you, Waz, but terrible.
And Waz, Waz is actually a really good Dynasty player, and I think he's a really smart guy, and he thinks Devin Singletary is going to take the ascension, like the next step, and he's going to be the guy for Buffalo, and he might be right, and I really like Devin Singletary as well, but I'm of the mold that you can't pass up, you can't just give up equity. Dynasty is such an equity-driven hobby, or sport, or game, or however the hell you want to call it. For me, giving up that much equity just isn't something that I would do. But there's a lot of players that just, people just go with their gut, they get their guy and move on. It's just not the way that I do things.
Yeah, definitely at running back when it's such a fluid position to begin with, even for the good guys, like the already proven good guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I agree. I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but I do like having rookie picks in a startup draft because it gives a good barometer for what types of players would be available before you take those picks. But you guys are right. The 105 was probably the right call there. But, and Izzy, just for the listeners that are not watching the YouTube channel, and also for Rich, because I know he's not able to see the draft board.
Oh, I have it up on my phone. I can see it.
Oh, nice. Okay. I can see it. So for the listeners on podcast, the third round finished up with Derrick Henry at 310 after Odell Beckham Jr. at 309. 104 went at the 311, the rookie pick 104. And then, like Izzy talked about, Devin Singletary at 312. And then we're into the fourth round. Waz follows up his Devin Singletary pick with Mike Evans. And then I'm gonna wheel this up to me. So then at 402, the rookie pick 105, followed by A.J. Brown, Mark Andrews, Aaron Jones, Austin Eckler, like Dynasty Rich just talked about. And then at the 407, I felt compelled to round out my team a little bit. I came into the draft with kind of a no strategy. I'm a best player available type of person, and I kind of shift my strategy based on what's available. And I ended up reluctantly, unintentionally doing like a zero running back draft. So at this point, I could have taken a pretty risky running back in like Leonard Fournette. I know some may not consider him risky because of all of his reception, the work he got in the passing game last season.
but there are just lower tier running backs. I didn't really want to reach for a quarterback at this point because this is the point in the draft where there's just a ton of older guys that are going to be coming off the board. I didn't want one of them. So I went with my next best wide receiver on the draft board, which was Juju Smith-Schuster. And I'm very optimistic with Big Ben coming back and Juju being able to return to glory and potentially being a top 10, if not a top 5 wide receiver once again in Dynasty at some point during the season. So also in the fourth round, followed up with my pick, Cortland Sutton, Allen Robinson. So these are some of the wide receivers that I was toiling with also on my pick. And then Izzy's back up at the 410. Izzy, talk to us about your pick.
Yeah, so I gambled a little bit here. My plan was to go with the 106, and then because I knew the 106 wouldn't make it back around to me at
503.
So I knew, okay, I wanted a quarterback, and I was eyeing two quarterbacks. One was Matt Stafford, and the other one was Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is a little bit of a riskier proposition, but he's so young and being what he, Stafford is really hard to move at some point in time. So you're kind of drafting Stafford and holding him. With Darnold, I can trade him. So they were kind of either one. I was hoping that one of them would land at the 503. So I took the 106 because looking at the draft board, I didn't really want Aaron Rodgers. He's kind of one again. Once again, I like Aaron Rodgers. I think he's gonna have a good season, but he's a very sticky dynasty asset. I'm inflexible with Aaron Rodgers because my market for trade is very limited. So I took the 106 knowing that there is a top six in this draft, in my opinion. And the top six for me, I actually think there's a top eight, but the top six for me in this format with the points per carry is the top two quarterbacks for sure, the next three best running backs wherever they land in the draft, and then either Herbert or that fourth running back if they also get a good landing spot. So I felt like, okay, the 106 is a really good spot here because I'm going to get somebody similar in quality to the 104, but I'm going to get him later in the draft at the 106. So I got some good value there, and I didn't want to miss on if I skip this pick here and there's a run of 106, 106, and then I'm stuck getting the 108, and I was afraid of that. So I took the 106, and I felt better about having Stafford or Donald fall to me at 503.
There you go. And then Dynasty Price takes Aaron Rodgers after Izzy's 106 pick. And then Dynasty Rich, you were on the clock at the turn, 412-501. Talk to us about who you picked.
All right. So this is the only place where I felt I made a mistake in the draft. This is the only spot of a pick where I regret. So I took 1-7 and I took Leonard Fournette. So the start with Leonard Fournette, who I picked first, was, I think even the community and because of all the running backs and all the new talent here, we forget how good of a running back Leonard Fournette is. And extrapolate on the top of that with how many catches he had last year, and you bring it out of the game as like a running back 4 overall, definitely with first down points per carry. I thought Leonard Fournette here was very, very good value. I just couldn't pass it up. Even thinking about going, you know, zero running back strategy like you were, JP, I thought Leonard Fournette was really good value here. Now, then I took the 1-7 because I fell into that rookie love, that lust of draft picks, and I agree with Izzy for sure. In a super flex league, I think tier one is 8 players for me too. So I come away, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get one of those elite players. My mistake was I should have taken Sam Darnold. That was my mistake because Sam Darnold, yeah, we don't know exactly what he's going to be, but he's a 21-year-old quarterback. And if Adam Gase is like a ruiner of NFL players for why they're there, guess what? Adam Gase is going to be out after this year, and they'll bring somebody else in. And again, Sam Darnold's only 21 years old. If I was in a super flex league and I had Sam Darnold and somebody came up to me and said, hey, I'll give you 1-7, I would tell them to kick rocks because I'm not trading them Sam Darnold for 1-7 in a super flex league. So my mistake was I fell in love with that elite tier of a really strong class, and seeing 1-7 there, Noah's not coming back at me, and just wanting a piece of that hurt my team a little bit by not taking Sam Darnold. So I should have taken Sam Darnold there. I'll be very happy with the player I get there. I pray that somehow Justin Herbert falls to me. He probably won't, but at the same time, in a running back's first down point per carry, I feel very good about getting one of those running backs as well. So it's a win-win there, but I feel like no matter what, unless I get Herbert, I lost because I didn't get Sam Darnold. But I'm happy overall with the picks. Definitely getting Leonard. I think I won because I got Leonard Fournette this late. And I feel like I lost by not getting Sam Darnold here and taking 1-7 instead. Even though I'll be happy with it long term.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead, Izzy.
Yeah, I was going to say there are a couple picks that I think the Juju pick is really good. I like the Cortland Sutton pick quite a bit. I'm surprised Nick didn't go Juju or Cortland Sutton. Even in this format, I thought that was the play over Austin Eckler. Once again, Austin Eckler is a really good value play if you're getting him in the right spot. I felt like 406 was a little too early for Austin Eckler because there's so much that could happen between now and September that could really reduce his value. Like, I don't see Austin Eckler ascending into the top 36 picks, so he's not going to go in the first three rounds. The only place Austin Eckler can go from here until September is down. So taking him there is really an unsafe place to go. So, like, I feel like drafting a Juju or a Cortland Sutton or the 106, like, once again, this is kind of Rich's point. If somebody offered me Austin Eckler for the 106, hell, if they offered me Austin Eckler for the 108, I'm keeping the 108 over Austin Eckler. So I felt like it was too early for Austin Eckler there. You could have taken the 106 and then traded the 106 for Austin Eckler at some point in time, similar to the Devin Singletary draft pick. So there's a couple good draft picks that I like there. Austin Eckler, if he hits and he is the guy with Justin Jackson, he's getting 70% of the work. The way that even though Philip Rivers is gone, the way that he can just rack up points, and he was the top five running back for most of the season before Melvin Gordon kind of got in his way. I think the situation is a little flimsy. So I just feel like there's a little more risk there. But that's really the only pick that I looked at and said, I think I would have gone a different direction in the fourth round. But overall, it was pretty good.
There you go. And Izzy, Matt Stafford gets taken at 5:02, and then you were on the clock at 5:03.
Yeah. This was the gamble that paid off. I was hoping that both wouldn't go. And this is what's nice about having the Dynasty Nerds on the in the draft, is because they aren't very good at this, right? So I was able to get a quarterback at the 5:03. I'm just kidding. But I thought that one of them would go. I didn't think both of them would go, and that was the gamble I took, and I knew the 106 wouldn't be there. So Sam Darnold fell to me at 5:03, which is great, and it actually saves me from myself, because I would have had a hard time passing on Matt Stafford, and I get it. He's the one in the hand, and Darnold is the kind of the two in the bush, because I'm kind of resetting the clock. But I think Matt Stafford is the most underrated quarterback probably in fantasy football history. The guy is perennially underrated, and Dynasty Price got a really good player there, and he saved me from myself because I probably was going to end up taking Matt Stafford. But I think Sam Darnold is probably the best. I mean, from a risk-reward perspective, I actually like the ability to be able to take Sam Darnold at his age and then have that quarterback, have him as my QB2, and hope that he can ascend into a high QB2, low QB1. And I'm sitting really pretty at the quarterback position, especially if I bring in Joe Burrow with the 101. And now I have a pretty good stable of quarterbacks there, and then I can worry about my roster and the other spots later. So I feel pretty good about that pick at 5:03. And my plan kind of worked from the 4:10 to the 5:03.
Yeah. I love Sam Darnold, so you can trade him to me. He might be my guy this year. So I had, like, Dak was my prediction last year, breaking into the top five. I might have a bold prediction coming out around Sam Darnold this year. So we'll see.
Yeah, I like that too, Izzy, because like how I love Matt, he's got that set stable of young quarterbacks. Now you're in position to have Sam Darnold. You got Joe Burrow. And honestly, at 1-6, if you like what's going on there, you could have Justin Herbert too. So you can have three.
What am I gonna do with all four? I guess I could trade.
Oh, and you got Lamar Jackson. So yeah, you're gonna be in the best position to make a move and have the pick of the quality player that's already been taken behind Sam Darnold, right? Or
right
behind that 1-6. So I love what you've done with these first couple picks.
Yeah. And I was going to be, out of three of us, up next with the 5:06, and I was able to achieve what others could not. After Darnold came off the board, he was kind of somebody who I was targeting. I identified that there was a very flat tier of guys coming up next, so I decided to try my best to trade back out of the 5:06, and I pulled off a trade. In fact, I've got the Dynasty Trade Calculator pulled up because I felt like this was a good opportunity to feature the new startup feature on our trade calculator.
Wow. Are we getting sponsored by this? Are we getting paid for this plug?
Are we getting paid by ourselves for this?
Correct. Correct.
I mean, go ahead and see what you got in your wallet and just put it in your hand.
Okay. All right.
$2, probably. You always keep $2 with you.
$2 in my wallet.
So, and I want to see what you guys think of this, too. So I traded out of the 506. So I gave the 506, 807, and 1007. And I received the 609, 704, and 904. So I moved up a round and three picks. I moved up a round and three picks to move back a round and a half, basically. Moved up two, like basically four full rounds, five full rounds to move back a round and a half, I think. So what were you guys' thoughts about that one?
What are the startup calculator? While you pull that up.
It is pulled up. It should be on your screen right now. It was 37.8 to 48.8 in favor of the trade back. So the 609, yeah. 704, 904 was the winner.
And honestly, as even somebody that's been doing Dynasty for a decade and a half, the hardest thing for anybody, and this is the most veteran of Dynasty players, is valuing Dynasty startup picks. So it's so hard. This is actually a tool that I was actually using quite often in the draft when there were offers being made to me. I just wanted to see how close they were. Just it's hard to really think about, okay, who's going to be around in the 14th round? Who's going to be around the 12th round, the 18th round? So it's nice to have that in your back pocket. And I think just from looking at who was drafted and who was available at the time, I think it was a really good move to draft, to trade back in that situation. I think you made out ahead there.
And I think one thing that's fun to do, and maybe, I don't know if I'll do this right now, but I have to try to, I'll write down the players and I'll cover it later, but it's fun to plug in the player names of each of those picks. So now that the trade has happened and the draft has happened, we can actually see player for player what this trade looked like. It'll be kind of fun to look at it that way too. So
yeah, that tool, well, that maybe tool while, looks great.
While Rich and I talk about the fifth round here, you can plug them in. I'll rip through this quick, Rich, and then we can talk about it for time. After Sam Darnold, it went Matt Ryan, Kenny Golladay, Evan Ingram, Julio Jones, Tannehill, the 108, Cooper Kupp, the 109, and then Kirk Cousins at the 512. So this is where I feel like the draft starts to go away from just the normal players that get drafted. So this is chalk ends up going out the window right around this round, middle of the fifth round, where now you start to see a lot of people maybe potentially reaching for players or players that you look at and say, yeah, I probably wouldn't take that guy. I'd probably wait a round and a half. More of that starts to happen in this range and especially going to the sixth round. But this is kind of where it starts. Anything you like, dislike in the fifth round?
Yeah, I like Matt getting 108 at 5'9" because like we both agree there's a top tier there at in the eight, and he's for sure probably going to get either one of those running backs or those receivers there at eight. So I like that pick. I think Evan Ingram in the fifth round in Superflex tight end premium is really good value for the Giants, looking at them to take a step forward. I didn't really love what didn't I love there? The Tannehill pick, I understand it, but I might have went somewhere a little bit more safe, a guy like Kirk Cousins or Jimmy Garoppolo over a Tannehill. So that one was probably my least favorite pick of the draft. But besides that, I mean, I really did come away. I thought all these picks were pretty solid picks.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Tannehill one stands out. Once again, this is another, you could have had X and traded for Tannehill, and that was the 108. With the blessing that we were given in this draft that was voted on 7-5 was that we had the rookie draft picks in the draft as opposed to the rookie players. It changes where players and the picks should be drafted. So with the 108 being there, it's now an open canvas to do whatever you want at the 108. So when that draft rolls around, you should be able to get Ryan Tannehill for the 108. I don't see any draft. I can't imagine. If you put Ryan Tannehill into this rookie draft and you drop him in there as a free agent, he's not going in the first eight picks. So I feel like you could get the one Tannehill plus for the 108.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that open canvas remark is a good one. You know, just the dream and opportunity of who could be there, because you don't know. So you could say like, ooh, Justin Herbert might be there. Or what if J.K. Dobbins is your 1-1, right? And you're like, J.K. Dobbins could be there. I might possibly get him. So just that possibility, that magic of what could be there is so enticing. And it does. It increases that value overall of what player might actually be there.
Yep. Hurley, what did you trade end up being?
All right. So on the 506 side, so the guy traded up to draft Evan Engram, which I heard you guys talking about a little bit. So he took Evan Engram, Daryl Henderson at 807, and Dwayne Haskins at 1007. So Engram, Henderson, Haskins. I took Ertz at 609, Noah Fant at 704, and the rookie 111 at 904. So it was Ertz, Fant, and 111 for Engram, Henderson, Haskins.
Yeah, I mean, what did they end up being in the calculator? What's the value? So we knew what the dynasty startup value was. You won by, it was like 48 to 37. What is it now that the players have been drafted?
I'm going to have to plug them in.
Okay. I thought
what
you
the hell were you doing the whole time?
I was matching up players for where they were drafted at the positions.
Well, let's just go. While you do that, we're going to go to the sixth round. While Hurley's putting in the players in the calculator, it was Jimmy Garoppolo, Kenyon Drake, Locke, Hunter Henry, Calvin Ridley, Tom Brady, Teddy Bridgewater, Nick Foles, Zach Ertz, DJ Chark, Darren Waller, Melvin Gordon. So a lot of quarterback run there. I think there's six quarterbacks in that sixth round. This is the biggest snipe for me. And I don't want to say snipe because there's such a big gap between me and where this player was drafted. But the player that I wanted in this round that I thought I could actually not only wait for in this round, but maybe get him in the seventh round was Drew Lock. So Drew Lock is, if you go to the Dynasty Trade Calculator and look at the badges, Drew Lock is my guy. But once again, he's my guy because I think he's very undervalued. But, you know, early in the sixth round, I think is where you start to say somebody reached a little bit for Drew Lock. So I would have loved to have gotten him in the seventh round. I think that would have been appropriate value. But he's my guy to break out this year. I think he's going to really ascend into a low QB2 or a high QB2, low QB1, excuse me, this year. So I really like that pick. I like the player more than I like the pick. How about that? Other than that, I think the worst pick in this draft was Tom Brady at the 606. Way too early for Tom Brady, a guy that we might only see for a year. From a win now perspective, so Culture Coach obviously put together a team that's going for the win now. So if he wins the league and Tom Brady really was a low QB2 last year, so he wasn't really all that helpful when he played. But let's say with the weapons that he has around him, he ends up being a low QB1 again. And if that happens, Culture Coach is really in a good spot to compete year one. I just think from a dynasty perspective, it's a little too early at those 606. So that was my surprise of the sixth round.
Yeah, I got to say there's two surprises for me, Izzy. One, Tom Brady, I didn't like that pick. I thought Nick Foles, that blew me away. Like somebody who's not even guaranteed to be the quarterback in Chicago.
Yeah, true.
I mean, Nick Foles hasn't beaten out anybody for a starting job ever. You know what I mean? He can't even beat out Gardner Minshew, essentially. So for me, I thought that was somewhat of a shock. For Nick Foles going that high, Tom Brady was a little high. And it's funny that you said what you said earlier, Izzy, because we've been talking about it for years. Like, you and I play Dynasty almost identical. You know what I mean? Like, you and I have a lot of the same beliefs. And
yep.
That Drew Lock pick, I thought for sure, my whole plan was to come. All my other startups, I have Drew Lock in it because I got him I thought 100% with my sixth round pick at the back of the draft, I was going to come away with Pat Mahomes as my 1A. And then a nice, solid young guy in Drew Lock. And when he went, it broke my heart. It really did, because I thought I was going to get him for sure. I agree with everything you said. I thought he would for sure be there. I like him. I think he takes a big step forward this year. Definitely with already having Noah Fant, bringing in Melvin Gordon, and then Cortland Sutton. And then they're probably going to draft a CeeDee Lamb or Henry Ruggs or Jerry Jeudy too. I like Drew Lock at 2. That pick hurt the most for me. I actually like that pick there. I think it was a good pick because obviously I like him a lot. But I thought for sure he would be there.
Yeah, I wanted to leave with him too.
Yeah. You guys, the funny thing is we're all three on the same page because I was targeting Drew Lock with my pick at 607, and him drafting Drew Lock at 603 forced me to make a tough call on my 607 pick, and I kind of panic drafted Teddy Bridgewater, and here's why. So I've got that 103 rookie pick, and I've only got Josh Allen at quarterback. So if the 103 doesn't turn into a quarterback, Tua or Burrow, obviously, you know, one of those two
could be available at 103, but if it doesn't, then I'm stuck without a second quarterback. And if you look behind Teddy Bridgewater, it's Nick Foles, Gardner Minshew, Drew Brees, Cam Newton, Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger. A ton of serious age and concern with all of those quarterbacks. So Teddy Bridgewater was my last chance summer dance at the quarterback position in this round. So, but I really wanted Drew Lock.
Yeah, I would have taken Teddy Bridgewater if he was available for me too. That was another guy that kind of like, you know, like you said, all these quarterbacks went. So I completely planned on taking my second quarterback this round, and it just was like, oh, there's another one. There's another one. There's another one. There goes that. And that's why I said my biggest mistake was not taking Sam Darnold and taking 1-7 ahead instead. That's why it ended up being my big, like, obviously if I get Drew Lock here, I don't think that's my biggest mistake because I'm comfortable, but that's why it was my biggest mistake. I ended up getting Melvin Gordon there at one, with my first pick of the top of the round. And I felt really good again, just like I thought getting Leonard Fournette was really good value in this format, getting a running back who's getting paid. We just mentioned why we like Denver, right? And why we like Drew Lock. Same reason for Melvin Gordon. He's going to get, they paid him. They've been saying forever, they want a running back that could be the bell cow back. That's going to catch the football. That's going to run the football. So Melvin Gordon's going to get a lot of first downs. He's going to be back into that running back one category. So now I'm locked in with Leonard Fournette and I still have that 1-7 and I got Melvin Gordon. I feel really good about my running back position here in his format with so many running backs already going so early and it being a limited supply. I thought this value was just too good to pass up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hurley went with Ertz at the 609 and
such good value.
I think it's amazing value. Ertz is probably the most undervalued elite player right now. And for some reason I get the Dallas Goedert thing, but they don't have weapons there in Philly. So Ertz is still going to eat, and he's not old. So I think from a tight end premium perspective and the amount of volume that Ertz is probably going to get, I thought that was a really good pick at 609. I took DJ Chark at 610. I was torn here. I was going to go DK Metcalf here because I wanted to go Gallup at my next pick. So Gallup was going to be my pick no matter what, and I thought he'd be there. So it really came down to DJ Chark or DK Metcalf, which is kind of weird because Gallup was one of the three that was locked in, but I wasn't going to take him at 610 because I figured I could get him at the 703. So I went DJ Chark because Gardner Minshew, I tried to basically look at it from a DK Metcalf is still going to probably be the wide receiver two in a low volume offense with Tyler Lockett there. And the way that he plays and the amount of production that he gets, the type of production he gets is not conducive to points per first down. So I went with DJ Chark because I think that he could be a guy that just gobbles up a crap ton of targets and he can be a deep threat as well as getting a lot of receptions for the point per first down. And I think he's vastly underrated, a guy that I think could ascend into being a top 12 dynasty wide receiver. And I thought it was really good value being that late. And I still hadn't drafted a receiver. So he was my first receiver off the board. So I have no running backs at this point. I had no receivers at this point. So I had to go one of two directions, which is going running back. And I wasn't going to do that. I didn't find the value there. So I went with DJ Chark at the 610.
And Izzy, I was only a little surprised because DJ Chark will be on your team when the season begins because he is one of those players that doesn't have a ton of respect in the dynasty industry with dynasty owners. I thought you might go DK Metcalf because he is a very sexy name and he's a valuable trade commodity. So,
I agree with you. And the reason why I ended up not pulling on DK Metcalf is because I felt like the fact that he was still there in a non-industry league, I probably go with DK Metcalf because a non-industry league, there's going to be a lot more average Joes that won't understand the format and the value, true value of players. So with DK Metcalf, I know a lot of people love him, but obviously if he's still around at 610, a lot of people don't love him enough. So I went with a guy that I think could be able to be traded during the season. And that's DJ Chark with DK Metcalf. If he wasn't drafted now, I think people are on to the fact that he's not going to be a heavy target volume guy with a lot of points per first down. And that's the reason why he dipped so far. So I went Chark, but I get what you're saying.
And just for the sake of time, too, I want to get to a point where we can kind of wrap up the draft, at least for Dynasty Rich. Maybe we can cover
a second portion on a part two Izzy or something by ourselves. But
So
to recap that trade, because I know that a lot of people are sitting on the edge of their seats waiting for me to put that trade in the calculator, but it ended up being 45.4 to 62.3 in favor of the Ertz, Fant, and 111 side. Ingram, Daryl Henderson, and Dwayne Haskins came out 45.4. So figured I'd give you that context.
Oh, so you were up 17 on that transaction?
Yeah, after the draft was said and done, for sure.
Nice.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, obviously you did a good job. And this is, I think you did a good job at the time. I like that side more anyways. I don't know what Rich thinks.
No, I do too. So
I think you made out on both ends there. I think that was the right play. And nice. It was hard to find trading down as a possibility in this draft, and you were able to find the first opportunity.
There you go. And that rounded out the first six rounds. I want to kind of throw it over to Dynasty Rich. Rich, do you have any notes about the overall strategy that you executed in this draft, or some like thoughts overall that you had in this draft, and like maybe how this is different from some of your other leagues as well?
No, I felt really good about my team overall. I think the rest of everybody else felt good about my team too, because in the disrespect draft, I went second to last. I said I only came away with one mistake, I feel, and that's not taking Sam Darnold instead of 1-7, because my other quarterback ended up being Mitch Trubisky. My whole thought process with there too is like, okay, I do have Pat Mahomes, and Pat Mahomes is kind of like 1.5 quarterbacks as it is. So, and I'm also under that, I also realize, having Waz's pick, I'm going to be in a good spot next year.
Valid.
And, you know, as always in Superflex leagues, just because you could start two quarterbacks does not mean you have to start two quarterbacks. And in this format, if you have three or four good running backs, a really good running back here who gets a lot of first downs might be in a better position than quarterback, say, 18, 19, 20 anyways. You know what I mean? So the way I look at it with 1-7, if Mitch Trubisky isn't the starter or he's not, there'd be a situation where even if Mitch Trubisky is the starter there, or say I have a guy like Gardner Minshew or even maybe Teddy Bridgewater, and I get J.K. Dobbins at 1-7 and he's the man and he's getting first downs left and right, I'd be starting J.K. Dobbins over Teddy Bridgewater or a quarterback anyways. So yeah. Just because I can start two quarterbacks, I'm not necessarily locked in there. I feel really good about my running back position. I have 1-7 and 1-10, so I'm getting two really good young prospects. I mean, I come on this draft with J.K. Dobbins and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And again, that kind of pushes my young running back situation. I feel really good about my receiver position, coming out with Chris Godwin, DJ Moore. Jarvis Landry's only 27 years old. To me, the most underrated fantasy football wide receiver in football, who's consistently a top 18 wide receiver year in, year out, but nobody wants him. And I still got Robbie Anderson. I got AJ Green for a guy who might be good trade bait if he comes back out and is that wide receiver one of old with Joe Burrow. That gives me some kind of trade bait, possibly get back up into 2021 draft. And I feel good about my tight end position as well. Austin Hooper for the Browns, who's a tight end one. I still expect him to be that tight end six overall. Hayden Hurst, I like a lot as my other tight end. Not more so because I love Hayden Hurst. I just love the Atlanta Falcons system and how they scheme for the tight end for success. And they gave up a second round pick, which is a really good pick to give up in an NFL draft. So that means they're going to use Hayden Hurst. And the reason I like Austin Hooper and why Austin Hooper's always been successful is because Atlanta schemed for him to be successful. And now I expect them to do the same thing for Hayden Hurst. As a whole, I really like my team. I think it's a contender this year. And I'm young enough to compete for years to come. And those couple of 2020 draft picks in my back pocket feel good.
Can Hurley pull up your team so we can look at it? Just click on, yeah.
So, and you would argue, looking at my team, like, what's your biggest hole, Rich? It's my number two quarterback in a super flex league. But like you said, not knowing the overall parameters of the league, Izzy, like, that runs per first down, and me having two solid running backs and Le'Veon Bell, if he rebounds three, with that rookie picks, both those rookie picks, I think I'll be in position to offset that. Like I said, I believe Pat Mahomes is worth 1.5 quarterbacks when it comes to fantasy. Almost like Lamar Jackson, you too, Izzy. So you almost have that 1.5 quarterbacks when it comes to fantasy production. I think if I can add one quality running back there and take that half a point that Pat Mahomes gives me overall where you look at my team and say, okay, the hole is quarterback two, I can offset that with another quality running back with Pat Mahomes. So I think overall, I really like my team. I really do. I like it a lot. I came in with this draft very happy with it. What do you guys think?
So
I'm biased.
What's that?
I'm biased.
Yeah, so I look at Pat Mahomes. So I get what you're saying. Pat Mahomes is the advantage because you get to pair him with another quarterback. So if you have, and this is kind of a weird way to look at it. If you have Pat Mahomes, you're getting 1.5 times, but you don't have a second quarterback, it kind of offsets his value. Your advantage is Pat Mahomes with another quarterback. 19 out of the top 30 players, 19 of those were quarterbacks in this league. So you would have to get a really, really, really strong stable of running backs that are in the top 50 of dynasty scores in this format to do that. But it's really difficult to do with how strong the quarterback position is in a superflex league and a point per first down league, despite the point per first down league. So when 19 out of 30 top scorers were quarterbacks, it's going to be really hard to offset the lack of a second quarterback. Now, I think Mitch Trubisky starts the season off as the quarterback, so you will get production. I disagreed with one thing you said. I would never, ever, ever consider my team okay to start one quarterback without filling the super flex spot with another quarterback. I have never seen in my super flex life a team win with only one starting quarterback in their lineup. You guys might have seen something different. I have never seen it. So it's maybe possible, but the odds are very low and it's very rare to even see it to begin with. But the way that you constructed your team with the amount of picks that you have, I think you will be able to acquire a quarterback, worst case scenario anyways. Once again, I think the big thing that people struggle with in startups is they try to build a actual team. Well, it's April. You have 6 months before you actually need to field a lineup. So you don't need to worry about what your lineup looks like today. You need to worry about what your lineup looks like in September. You have 6 months to do that. So you have 180 days to pony up and figure out how to get a QB2. So I'm more concerned about how you drafted, the value that you got. And I think the value that you got and the trade piece that you have is good enough to find a QB2 and to contend this year. I think you have a couple weaknesses, which is your lack of depth at running back. I don't really like Lev Bell. I think your running back stable is very good for the next year, maybe two, if you're lucky. Your receiver stable is really strong, and I think that's what's going to carry you for the next few years. And Pat Mahomes, of course, and the draft picks that you got, the 107, the 110, even getting that many third-round picks, these are all dart throws. And in a draft this deep, I think you're sitting pretty good with the draft picks. So I don't mind your draft at all. And you got pretty solid tight ends. Nothing upper echelon, but really, really solid mid tight end ones in your roster. So I'm good with it.
Yeah, and I like the like you said, I like the flexibility I have. It's the reason kind of I took 110 too. So it puts me in position to get a quarterback if I need to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I can get another. I use those picks too, thinking, okay, I need a running back too. I knew going like running back, zero running back. I know with one of those picks, okay, I'm going to get one of those top guys. I'm going to get Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm going to get J.K. Dobbins. I'm going to get, you know, what if Cam Akers goes to Kansas City? I feel like I can get one of those guys. The way I look at my team is I'm going to get a running back with one of those draft picks. And now it's just, how do I get my other quarterback? That's my goal going forward from this point on is how, like you said, from September on, how do I add another quarterback to this stable? And that's the fun part I have with my team. And I think I got, like you said, I think I got some pieces to make that happen.
Yep. Well, we're going to wrap up this podcast, this show. Like I said, Dynasty Rich, thank you so much for joining us. Listeners, viewers, I urge you to go check out DynastyNerds.com. Check them out on Twitter at Dynasty Nerds, and Dynasty Rich can be found at Dynasty Rich on Twitter as well. They've got a lot of cool stuff coming out. They've got a draft room. What other new things you guys got going on right now, Dynasty Rich?
We just had the Nerd Score launch this week on there. So it's going to give you a historical data on our rookie evaluation just on skill set. So we have that. We have the Dynasty Nerds film room, like we said, to study these rookies. So after we talk about them, you get to see what we're talking about, our rankings, the podcast. And we got some really cool new tools coming down the pipeline here by August on the website as well. So Dynasty Nerds, Dynasty Trade Calculator, our best friends in Dynasty, are all here together to help you be a better Dynasty player.
A winning combination right there is probably better than peanut butter and jelly, if you ask me. So,
and when are we going to, Rich, you're going to have to join us for part two, because I feel like There's so much good content here. So you're going to have to carve out another hour and 15 minutes. We'll do a part two to this. Maybe only cover 12 picks and then, or 12 rounds, but at least talk about all the rosters.
Yeah, and we could do it. We could do it soon too. I'm under quarantine, so as long as it's a time that we'll hash that out. But I think we should do it sooner than later and get these episodes up back to back. Personally, so just we'll talk about it. Direct messaging. Until then, I gotta go sit with the family. We'll talk soon, guys. Thanks. All right,
I appreciate it.
Thanks, you, Rich. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for viewing, you guys. We'll talk to you again very soon. We'll cover round or part two on this coming up very soon. So thank you so much. Bye.